to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined once again with Nick and Randy. How are you doing?
How's it going? Hey! Good to see you, Drew. I'm excited to be here on video. Maybe it's a little bit higher quality. We should probably mention this to all the audio
for those
people,
watching, right? On video. And for those who are not watching on video, we now have a video podcast. If you want to watch them on YouTube, you now have that option. So there you have it.
And ad-free for the time being. So if you're sick of hearing the ads, just, you know, if you can help us get monetized on YouTube that much quicker, then you can, you know, get us on YouTube.
Exactly. We are recording twice, so if you guys are watching right here, that means Nick made it work. If you're watching right here, that means it didn't work. So we're recording twice. One of them's working, but I
am
talking to you.
Don't blame this on me.
I'm talking to you guys here, and then I'm talking to audience here. Hi, and every episode it looks like we're trying something new. So this is, I'm excited just because we're mixing it up a bit.
Upon backups, upon backups.
We even have a backup.
We even have a backup.
The iPad can't be a backup, though.
Backup. It's perfect.
Although my iPad in its current state is now a laptop, which I haven't made videos about yet because I just got my keyboard case accessory. Did I talk about this on the podcast?
I don't think so.
I ordered a third party keyboard case, obviously, because the Magic keyboard case. I know.
Can't wait that long.
Drew.
I can't wait. I had to try it out because, like, I don't have a keyboard case, obviously. Now I do. And I didn't want to use, like, keyboard case with the Magic Mouse. So now I'm using this accessory made by...
As we wait.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Fill the space for dead air.
F17. not a sponsor.
F17.
And
the trackpad
is portable. F17? I guess if you had a lot of function keys, it could. Yeah, I have a F17 on my Magic keyboard.
I have an F17 as well.
Okay.
So what you're using right now, and what I'm looking at, it's currently in the laptop setup?
Yes. It's got the keyboard, the trackpad built in.
The movable thing? You know what I mean? Can you move your iPad unlimited angles?
No. Unlimited. It goes down to like 135 degrees, but I don't think it folds all the way flat.
So
it's weird.
Like that.
It is very cheaply made, despite it being $80, but I guess it is significantly cheaper than the Magic Keyboard, which for this iPad will be like $350. Man,
I would say the iPad, that cheap keyboard you got is like 20% of the cost, 22.857146%.
That sounds accurate.
Percent of
so
the
I'll
cost.
Believe you. Thank you. And it's RGB, anytime. So it's built for gaming.
Ooh, that is nice.
The trackpad does not click in every area. It feels awful.
Oh,
and it makes me wonder,
well.
Like, are you guys concerned how the Magic Keyboard case is probably not going to be haptic feedback like the MacBooks? Like
Wait,
the diving board trackpad.
If it's a diving board, I'm going to be so mad.
No, there's no way there's haptic feedback in
a
case that thin. They can't
in
fit.
Something that's $350 from Apple, there's no way they're sticking a diving board in that.
The cheapest haptic feedback MacBook you could get previously was like $1,000, and that's with like no specs. It's a 12-inch MacBook. It's basically
but $350 has like even fewer specs than a no-spec MacBook because it doesn't have a battery, it doesn't have a display, it doesn't have a logic board, it does have a USB-C port. So they have to have fit a diving board.
Pretty similar to the 12-inch MacBook.
A force touch trackpad. It has to.
I think it's a regular trackpad. What do you think, Randy?
If it's not a haptic type, I would be okay because it's not something that I'm used to now because I don't have it. I just use iMac as that. My wife does have the first generation before we went to the new line of MacBooks. MacBook Pro that she has the first gen that started implementing that feature. So where you can click anywhere on it and it works for her. When I use it, I still feel weird about it. And I thought, you know how I was talking a couple episodes, for a couple episodes now, about me looking for a MacBook. I have it with every intention of using a mouse because the trackpad is not something I would use unless it was like a necessity. I have to get to it for whatever reason. So out of habit, I would be okay with it just being the regular click and not haptic. Okay. But I will say that knowing that you can use the external trackpad, mouse, and it gives you the clicking. It would be really weird for someone like Nick or you, anyone else for that matter. It'd be really weird to be used to feeling it anywhere like that and going from that to a tiny little square. I will get by because I'm not used to having it, but someone who's been using it, I can see how it's going to be a really weird transition. It won't translate well in your mind, but that's where you got to not bridge the gap between Mac and iPadOS and realize they're two separate operating systems.
I'm guessing it will not be haptic, but it will be like an incredibly over-engineered trackpad that's like, it still physically clicks. It's not simulating a click like the MacBooks are, but because it's Apple, they've come up with some really intricate, complicated way. I just don't think it's physically possible for them to fit the haptic feedback into a case that small.
Maybe you won't feel anything. What if it's just it registers the force side, but you don't like feel the of like the clickiness. Like you don't feel it. I feel like
people would be mad about that.
I don't know. It could happen though, because
doesn't have the haptic at all. Not the same way our iPhones do. So I can see them not even doing anything at all to try to keep it as seamless as possible between you touching the iPad screen and you using a trackpad for the iPad, as opposed to like our iPhones.
I've never enjoyed using a trackpad in that way, where you don't get the physical feedback and you just tap
to click,
slide, and like I never liked that. That always made me feel weird. But maybe I'm learning wrong. I just need to go back to the old ways.
You're learning it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, the Amazon listing for the Magic Keyboard case has said that the product is not coming until May 30th. Do you think that's legit, or do you think Amazon's just playing it safe and saying May 30th because they don't know when it's dropping?
Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead.
Mine was going to be quick. I think Amazon is just going off of whatever Apple's telling them that might be like, hey, you know, expected time. So I think they're playing it safe, to answer your question. And I think they're just going off of the information that Apple's providing. I don't think they have insider thing. I think they're going off of just, you know, speculative tentative dates.
To be fair. Like, Apple posted this listing.
Ooh. Mm. I would say then I think it's coming from the horse's mouth then.
So
let's
the
horse's mouth.
I've heard that.
Is that what you said back in the 1920s? Is that what
you said back then? Back in the 90s, I don't know. I don't know. It's a saying that, like, hey, if you don't believe it unless you hear from the horse's mouth.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Well, I don't know if horses talk. So
I'm the horse's mouth in this analogy. You have to believe me.
What do you say? Who's the horse's head, though? That's the real question.
Oh.
I don't know. I think that Apple is always about waiting till the very last second to launch any product. The iMac Pro, December 27th. Yeah. It still came out in the fall. Mm-hmm. Apple Watch came out in the spring in 2015. It was really, they meant like almost summer. Mm-hmm. And all of these products, they always say, you know, coming in fall. When they say fall, they really mean November. When they say spring, they really mean like June.
Last date.
Exactly. So when they say May, they're not talking about May 1st or May 10th or May 27th. They're talking about May 30th or 31st. How many months hath May?
The listing said 30th, so 31. I don't know if there's 31, but that's what it said.
Yeah, 31. So they will start shipping on the 31st. They're not going to be delivered until like the 2nd of June, which will coincide perfectly with DubDub.
I was going to say, it'll show up right after DubDub then. So they have to have something special, otherwise they could have just waited on announcing this thing.
That's what they're having special for DubDub.
AirTags. Did you guys see that? They're waiting for AirTags. Oh
my gosh.
Apple somehow messed up twice in one day. Like, they had two major leaks within 24 hours.
Yeah,
it's all that working from home. No one's communicating well. It's all on that Zoom calls.
Not their finest hour.
Well, I'm fine with Apple having less finest hours, because this slip-up gives us early access to future products. It's not the same as Face ID failing on stage, but AirTags, Apple's YouTube channel, the customer support channel. And what's funny about that is it makes me think, wait, does customer support that makes those videos have early access iOS software?
Totally. Totally.
That makes sense.
We need to screen record the iPhone on this prototype version of, you know, iOS 13 or whatever that has AirTag support built in, and we're just not even going to notice that it says AirTag.
Or, or tinfoil hat, maybe it was Apple's intent anyway, and they were like, they had this schedule lined up and it should have been out by now, whether because of March or what have you, that we should have had it by now, and they were, and their team was already ready to roll out with customer support for it.
There's
some
idea.
Capacity or another. And I think that given the whole quarantine status of everything, that got pushed. And so it just, marketing wise, it makes sense to put it for WWDC, but it should have been, if there was to be an event in March, which I now believe there would have been, it would have came out then because their team
was still don't think so, personally.
You don't think so? But, I mean, a site refresh I can even go with, but we kind of... We kind of got it's not a site refresh, but we just, oh, hey, new iPad, trackpad, keyboard, here you go.
I mean, that's a site refresh. That counts.
In my opinion, yeah, that kind of counts. Yeah, but I feel like they could have done more. I mean, now we're all just speculating, but it is my belief that we would have had some type of spring keynote, and AirTags would have came out then, and let as well as iPad, and hey, here's all these new things with AR, because AirTags is about AR. Today's keynote is about AR, and we're going to talk about, we're so excited to talk, and then just do the whole little Apple spiel. And I think their team was ready to roll with supporting videos on how to do certain functions, and then this whole thing kind of screwed it all up.
I see. I still think, given there wasn't an October event, and yet they still launched 16-inch MacBook Pro and AirPods Pro, and there was a March event last year.
Oh my god, I forgot. Hardware, you're right.
All of the hardware was launched before that event. Remember? Yeah. It was like a couple of weeks before the March event, they did the AirPods 2 site refresh. Yeah. They did iPad Air with iPad Mini, and on top of that, they had iMac refreshes, like spec boosts and stuff like that, and yet they didn't want to talk about any of that at the March event. So I remember once those site refreshes happened, I was like, March event won't have any hardware. So the only reason they had a March event last year was for services. They didn't have one for hardware. And the year before that, they had a March event, but they didn't live stream it. It was at a school.
Right.
And it was just for them.
Oh, yeah. It was at a school, wasn't it?
Right. So, like, that I've was been following weird. Apple events for a while now, and March events have been always really spotty. They've never really consistently been like, oh, yeah, we're definitely having a March event this year, like in 2017, I believe there wasn't one at all. Yeah, it was just a website refresh. They did the red iPhone 7, and they did the budget iPad. That was the first time they introduced like the $329 iPad. Before that was the iPhone SE event, but I remember watching that in statistics class, and it was boring as heck. I mean, it was a one-hour keynote, which is already disappointing.
It was a small stage.
Small stage.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes of it, we're just talking about how Apple's good for the environment, which is fine, but that's not why we watch Apple events. And then they were like, the iPad Pro now has a smaller version, and here's a 5S with updated internals. Thanks, everyone. Bye. So I don't really see March events like Dub or iPhone events. I see them as like maybe things they do occasionally. And given the updates to the iPad Pro were very minor, same with the iPhone SE, I think we're hyping that up, but it is definitely a very small upgrade. It's literally just an iPhone 8 with, you know, a better CPU and maybe some new camera features. But knowing what stuff they had to announce, I could totally see why they wouldn't do a March event this year. But who knows?
I think you're right about the whole, like, it's not a consistent thing. Mm-hmm. But my only thing is, because we talked about it before, and I'm still sticking to it, it would have been a good time to do it this March, pretend the world was normal, whatever that is.
but it's not normal, we couldn't do it.
in a hypothetical normality of everything, doing a 1 year to date since we've announced services, and let's talk about the Apple Card, let's talk about Apple TV Plus, let's talk about everything, Arcade, News Plus, the whole thing. I think it would have been a good recapper just so they can, you know, do that. Because it's still good for their earnings call to do it. It's still good for PR purposes to just, hey, we announced something a year ago. Here we are year to date. Here's how it's looking. And it's maybe it's not for us as the consumer as it is
if
more for them.
If the services did well.
importantly. They did, because everyone loves News Plus. News Plus is my favorite subscription ever. I love paying $10 for have magazine covers that do like overlay things. Like, perfect subscription.
I mean, you're right, Randy, but I also think like it's probably still too soon to tell, because TV Plus didn't launch until November, and Apple Card didn't launch until, was it July or August? It was somewhere in summer. So these services haven't really been around for, like, I remember because I got the Apple Card right when I moved into this house. It was like right at that time. That's when I got back. But the services haven't all really been out for a year, except News Plus. I think that's the only one that's been available for this long. So TV Plus is still free for most people, and they probably will do a follow-up at DubDub, but they likely don't want to go into the numbers of the subscriptions, just because so many people are get using it for free, or maybe News Plus isn't doing that well. I don't know, but we'll see.
It's not like Apple doesn't have things to show off. Like, they could have held all of these, you know, iOS 13.4 should have had a keynote. At least, like, I know the March event got canceled. Or just saved, exactly. It should have been introduced on stage, because part of the reason why I had such a visceral hatred of the new, you know, trackpad support on iPad was because I didn't have anyone to show me what it looked like. I was just looking at website pictures, and Apple should have saved a lot of that stuff for DubDub. I think, you know, if I was in control and I could do it all over again, I would say hold all of the products. That's what's been released so far this year? There was a product Magic release, keyboard. Wasn't there? Magic Keyboard. Oh, iPad Refresh. That was it. Hello, mm-hmm. I'm dense. That should all been saved. For the June WWDC, that'll give them something else to talk about, because I think WWDC is going to be really weird without a crowd and without, like, the typical, you know, we've had over 6,000 developers in this auditorium today. No, that's not going to
be a very different vibe. Yeah,
they should have saved all that and had one really good event that they really took time to show off each of the capabilities of these new products, like mouse support and the new iPad, instead of just throwing it out on the website. And yes, as an Apple sheep, I'm glad that I didn't have to wait, you know, however many months more to hear about the iPad. But at the same time, like, it would have been nice just to have Craig Federighi show me what was happening. Like, I need Air Force One. Also, I haven't been able to get a haircut because my barber shut down and my hair's going crazy.
Oh, that's right. You don't live with a hairstylist like me and Randy.
I don't. You guys are both lucky. I might have to take a pair of scissors. Tune in on Sunday night for Nick's live stream, where I attempt to cut my hair.
I'll be there.
I don't know how we got there.
Oh, well. But do you think... I was kind of hoping we could avoid talking about the iPhone SE too much this week, because it might be out by the time this podcast
airs. That's true. Maybe we should just say, so we've been using the iPhone SE for about two weeks now.
Yeah,
we have some thoughts.
Just pull out your iPhone 8 and be like,
I really love the, this is a video podcast, I can't fake this anymore. I really love, I'll just do a really bad Photoshop job. And
there
there we go. So this new iPhone SE that was just released just seconds ago.
If you had the LiDAR sensor, you could really easily track it in place. Maybe they'll use the LiDAR to put,
there you go,
to put the audience at DubDub.
There you go.
They'll just fill it with little Nintendo Mii characters or whatever. I don't know.
in the Wii, was that sports. Tennis or whatever? Yeah, Wii Sports, they had like the stands filled up like little circles. That would work.
They could make it happen. They have the resources.
So I want that so bad, please.
Yeah.
Or just Memojis. Just fill the entire 6,000 emojis.
Have you decided on a MacBook Air or Pro, Randy, or are you still in a toss-up?
If we don't get the refreshed MacBook Pro by WWDC, I will. I thought about what you said, and I did research afterwards, and I'll be an echo chamber in a sense to the audience as well, and I will say that the Apple refurbish would be the way to go. Because there is a cost factor for me that I'm like, I don't need it like that to the point where I'm willing to pay top dollar, which is why I was looking at MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. I don't want last year's 13-inch, and I don't want a 16-inch. For the size, for the cost factor, because you are still paying a little bit more with it, and from mm-hmm. what I'm seeing, even at least for the configuration that I would need, just for a bigger screen real estate that I'm just going to use to dock anyway to a bigger monitor, I don't need it, and I do care about portability. So if we don't get an update by DubDub, I will probably I'll probably bite the bullet, compromise, and get a refurbished 16-inch for the pure specs. And I'm going to be kicking myself the whole time, and then I'm going to try to sell it as soon as possible. If we do get it, I will get the 13-inch MacBook Pro. I don't care if the screen is the same. I don't care if the keyboard is still butterfly, which
we don't care about the butterfly keys.
Again, I'm going to use it docked. It's not. Oh, right, I care. Right. Okay. I care about the processor. I care like 10th gen. Oh, Siri's about to do something. There we go. 10th gen Intel is important to me. The graphics card is important to me. Certain things are important to me, and I don't want an older version of it if I'm going to hold on to it for a long time. The same way I've held on to this for 5 years. I would like to get the best that I can get in 2020. At the time of doing it, and ride that wave until it starts to bug out on me. So, if there is an update to it, then yes, I will get the 13-inch. Not really caring if it looks exactly like last year's by any means. I need the ports, and I need the internal specs to be up to date. 8th gen is not going to cut it for me. And
I'm pretty sure there will be. It's bizarre that they have the magic keyboard on MacBook Air. And 16-inch Pro, and they have 256 gig standard on the Air, but not the Pro. Yeah. It's like it's already outdated. Like I would almost be more. I would almost expect them to do a 13-inch MacBook Pro refresh, similar to the 16-inch before DubDub. That would almost be more likely at this point. That's more believable than them waiting around. But it could be something that they want to showcase on stage, especially if they're upping the display size a little bit and shrinking the bezels a little, just to help with thermals and stuff like that. But
would you do it? Like, because I know you were talking about getting a mobile as well, like more something that's more mobile.
I'm definitely going 16-inch Pro.
Okay.
You made up your mind. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was decided when I tested the 16-inch Pro a couple months back when it first came out.
You're not interested in the smaller config.
Not at all. Because that's not whatever my next Mac is. I want it to beat the performance of my iMac Pro, and I like the form factor of the 13-inch. But I know that whatever the specs are on that 13-inch or 14-inch when it comes out, the 16-inch will always have better specs, no matter the case. And I also just saw Intel unveiled the 10th gen. I know some people may prefer AMD, but that's not what we're talking about. When it comes to the next-gen 16-inch MacBook Pro, if they use these new Intel CPUs that they just unveiled, Turbo Boost will go to 5.3 gigahertz. They'll have Wi-Fi 6. And the base clock speed, I think, will be the same. But that's essentially all I'm waiting for at this point. I would sell my Mac Mini. I'd have no reason to keep that if I got a 16-inch MacBook Pro. And also, I have filled up all my storage at this point between my iMac, my external SSDs, my Mac Mini even. Well, the Mac Mini has, like, nothing. But
I'm going to recommend you watch a really cool TV show, Drew. Mm-hmm. It's called Data Hoarders. I actually know the star of Data Hoarders and also the producer and the
doctor. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a really good – it's actually streaming on Talosive, so you should search Talosive on YouTube.
I remember, yes, but that's where I am essentially. It's like I figured out how to record in smaller formats and export into even smaller file sizes, and even with those smaller file sizes, like the Samsung SSD I exported to that I got for the Galaxy Fold has 1 gig left. So I basically just unplugged it, threw it in a drawer, and I was like, okay, that's full. I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm like, let's just delete all of the finalized episodes. But question I probably for you. Should.
Yes. How would you configure your 16-inch then? What is the...
That's what I'm deciding on right now.
8 terabytes i9 with 128 gigabytes of RAM.
Pretty close. Nick. Oh, you're not far off.
Okay.
This is going to be
an expensive purchase.
We are not getting base model. I can confirm that. It will be closer to maxed out than base. Because storage is important to me, and I filled up the iMac Pro in like 2 seconds, and that has a 2 terabyte SSD, I think I want to go higher. It will kind of depend on our financial situation at the time, but that's looking to be probably okay by the time they refresh the 16-inch MacBook Pro. So I would get the highest CPU. October. I mean,
they're refreshing it again?
Well, they unveiled the new CPUs.
It would be a whole year. My gosh, time is flying.
No, wow. I mean, like, the 16-inch MacBook Pro was unveiled.
Crazy how time flies when we're quarantined.
Yeah.
I know.
Or it's a regular Saturday for Drew.
Wasn't it October when they dropped the 16-inch?
It was. Yeah, so these are all October.
So that was six months ago.
The same time as AirPods Pro. Wow.
Yep.
So that's six months. And they've updated MacBook Pros in under a year. They've done that. Like, the 15-inch MacBook Pro refresh was in April or...
They update the specs a lot.
Yeah, they do little incremental updates because Intel comes out with new stuff and new GPUs become available. So that's when they do those little mid-year refreshes. So I'm anticipating a 16-inch Pro coming out maybe in June or maybe shortly then after. But because Intel has unveiled the new CPUs, I feel like something's coming. But I would get that highest clocked 8-core i9. Okay. I would get the... It's only $100 extra. And... Wait, for RAM?
RAM, yeah.
Probably 32. I might even get by with 16. I might just settle with 16 because I honestly have no RAM issues with my iMac Pro, and that has 32. And because it's a laptop, I feel like I won't be doing as much, like...
You're still going to have your iMac Pro for the, you know...
Yeah, I'll still have it. Or whatever. I don't think I'll need to have 8 monitors plugged in, you know, all the time. If I'm just doing one thing at a time, like... If I just close a couple of more apps than usual, that's fine. I'm not worried about that because it's a laptop anyway. It's only $100 extra, so I would get the 8 gigs of GPU.
Yeah.
The storage is what I'm split on, either doing...
2 terabytes.
2 terabytes or 4?
8. You got to go 8. You got to go 8. $1,200,
I'm debating doing 8 at just...
$2,200? Oh, my gosh.
The extra storage... is like exponential at checkout. Like to get the specs I want with like 16 gigs of RAM, which I know may seem low, but for me it's probably going to be fine. But like that configuration with a 2 terabyte, $3,500. That configuration with 8 terabyte, $5,300. It like significantly jumps up. But you are getting significantly more storage because you're going 1 terabyte. 2 terabyte,
you're
4,
just paying like $1 a gigabyte, basically.
At that point, I mean, it's getting up there. So I'm debating because it's like it's probably a lot cheaper to just buy an external SSD with 2 terabytes on it. So that might be why I settle with 2 or 4. But I was excited to see Turbo Boost get to 5.3. I was like, dang, 5
for
used
3
to be
seconds
like,
in the freezer.
Whenever it's plugged in, it can get there. So. But I know the 16-inch does have better thermals, so that encourages it. But
and it has
I really enjoyed that MacBook when we had it, when we tested it out. Like, it was really fun to have, and I did not want to return it. But
97-watt USB-C power adapter.
I never even used that. I left it. It's like the max.
97 watts. Jeez.
That's the most you can take on a plane, but
you
won't be doing that for a while.
Gigawatts! Great.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Back to the Future reference.
Thank you.
The win. We don't need roads where we're going, Marty.
Where we're going, we don't need RAM. Can we just mention that AirTags, like, this is a terrible time for them to come out because no one's losing anything.
No one's losing anything.
That's why they're not announcing them.
They're like, oh, now when you're out and about, this is all over and you're out and about, we can track your stuff.
If you survive and you're out and about after this is all over, then, you know, You can be not able to lose track your keys. Stuff.
Let's talk about AirTags for a second, because now we know that's official. This is the most confirmed thing you can get from Apple.
From the horse's mouth.
From the horse's mouth, as the boomer would say.
Like, how dare you, Sonny? You're a young whipper.
We may have talked about this before, but we should refresh it for those who haven't been listening as long. How much do you think they should cost?
Oh, for what $20 tops. $20
$20
You're thinking way too low, Nick.
I guess I'm hopeful, but come on, you got to be hopeful.
Put the Apple tax in there.
While Nick regrets his answer, Randy, go ahead and I will search exactly how much tile trackers cost.
Okay, about
$20
The lowest I think it will sell for is $80 The lowest.
I think you're closer.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're going to spend $80 to fix something to your keys that Apple. To get replaced would probably cost less than $80. That's what you're saying.
That's the Apple tax. I would say, honestly,
don't you have some tiles, Drew? Do you have little tile trackers?
I had some. I don't think they were from Tile. They were from some other company that made some cheap ones, but I hated them because, for one, they only worked if the tracker was in Bluetooth range. Once they became out of that, they kind of did what Apple is pitching, but, of course, it was a much smaller company, so you know it's not going to work as well. It's
not going to have the network.
Right. The network of every Apple device being a beacon that can ping from. Yeah. Like, in that way, it's like, pretty much only Apple can make that system work. I know tiles are really popular, and they do that. They will ping another tile tracker if it's out of Bluetooth range and notify the owner. But they're just not going to be as accessible or as everywhere as Apple devices are. Like every restaurant, every commercial places have iPads in them, and if they're connected, then they can just eventually ping encryptedly from all those. Once Apple's network is up and like consistent, I think it will work really, really reliably. Because if someone stole your phone or something, they probably also have an iPhone that they can ping, that will ping back. So it would be really, really difficult to lose stuff in this situation. But I think that because it will probably work better than anybody else's, and it will have the AirPod style connecting, and I hope it charges with the Apple Watch charger. I like that idea. I think that would be really easy. It just once a month or whatever, you just drop it on a little.
How thick would it be, though? Like, if you have to add in, like, charging stuff, I don't know.
Not much.
The Apple Watch charging thing that Apple, or allegedly, nothing's confirmed, but that they're, with this new air power, that they're trying to work the Qi charging with the Apple Watch again. So that way, it's not just the Apple Watch connector. You're using Qi charging, which goes back to my theory that these watches are Qi compatible.
I don't believe it. I still don't.
They don't feel like they're Qi compatible. So here's the stainless steel Apple Watch charger, right?
Mm-hmm.
For you video listeners who found us on YouTube, here's that.
What about us?
Video listeners.
I don't know which one we're using.
Video listeners.
This is still an audio first podcast, folks. So I am showing the Apple Watch charger.
Okay.
But like this is the thinnest one. The stainless steel is thinner than the plastic ones.
Yeah.
And this is still pretty chunky. Like if they made the Apple tile tracker, that's the giving end. Well, the receiving end is going to have to at least have a coil, which is basically all this is. The inside here is just
the Apple
a coil.
Watch is mostly, you know, display and glass and battery, and with the AirTags you don't have display, you don't have
they'll have glass.
Much battery.
We'll have a small
It'll
battery.
Have glass? Why?
Oh, yeah, this is Apple. If you're charging, okay. So I'm looking
it's
at Tile's
website.
Supposed
to be waterproof and durable, and
yeah, whatever. It looks pretty. So is the
Drew,
iPhone.
You didn't tell us the cost yet. What do you think it's
going
to be?
Oh, yeah.
I think personally, they're going to not let you buy them individually. They're going to be required multi packs, and that is how they justify the higher price point, because Apple doesn't like having products that are super low access in their store and everything. So my guess is it's going to cost something like $100 to $150, but you get two or three in each pack, and you cannot get just one from Apple.
$100 to $150 each?
No, for a pack. Listen to the words. Okay.
Gosh.
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I think they will bundle them. They're going to be like, no, if you want AirTags, you have to get several. And if you want one, you have to find it on like eBay or Amazon or something. Like, you won't be able to buy just one from Apple.
Or AppleCare to replace it.
Yeah.
Just the one. Right.
You can contact AppleCare and be like, I lost one.
And they'll send you three in the mail.
Get an AirTag to attach to your AirTag so you don't lose it. But that's my guess. Is it's going to be over $100 to get multiple, but they won't let you buy one.
So,
that's my guess.
Instead of requiring an Apple Watch charger, what if they were just Qi enabled? What if you could drop them on the back of your iPhone? What if the battery was so small and they charge so fast that you could plop it on the back of your reverse charging iPhone that is hardware enabled, but they haven't enabled the software for the iPhone yet, nor will they probably ever. But if they did, that would be cool.
I think bilateral wireless is stupid. No.
Okay. You're stupid.
I had it on the S10 and it was pointless. But,
experience of charging the Pixel Buds?
Or you're charging a device Buds? That doesn't need to be charged very much with a device that needs to be charged all the time.
You don't need to be charged
much. Thank you.
As you can see, I don't like your responses.
My point is the AirTags will probably only need to be charged once a month. So if that's the case, it's like it's kind of like the Magic Mouse. The charging method, whatever it is, it'll probably be kind of stupid, but it won't be that often. You just like you'll get a little push notification that's like charge your AirTag tonight.
Okay, and then so
I'm gonna make a different. Here's my counter.
Okay, go ahead.
I could say longer. I think it's more like the Apple TV remote, and it's so far few and far in between. It's such a passive device that. Mm-hmm. Whenever you need it's so out of sight, out of mind. It's when you don't need it that it's like and it's gone. It's only when in the moment you need it, like, oh god, I hope it holds a charge. And I can't tell you the last time I charged the Apple TV remote. And I use it this decade. you're right, same for me. And mm-hmm. But I do, unlike you though, I do use it on my TV. It's on TV. All right, so over here. And it doesn't die. The thing's like an old Nokia brick cell phone from the early 2000s. It doesn't die.
It's because we're not using it. Because Apple TV sucks.
I use it.
Oh, okay.
You've noticed Asphalt 8 or 9 or whatever we're on.
Oh yeah.
What?
I used to play the crap out of that game.
Oh, me too. I wasted so much real money in that game. Oh my gosh.
I had a iPad Air and a Bose SoundLink Mini. And after school every day, I would connect the Bose to the iPad and play Asphalt 8 for about 5 hours. And I became, like, really, really highly ranked in that game.
Did you ever get the Bugatti Chiron?
I did.
Me too. I loved that. Mm-hmm. I maxed that car out. Oh, I spent so much
real
money.
All the expensive stuff. Anyway, besides the point, you noticed the running trend.
Wait, time out. You were in middle school when you had an iPad Air?
Yeah, I had an iPad in middle school, yeah, I think.
Was it an
iPad? That was my first
Air?
iPad. That was my first one. I never owned an iPad.
My palms just got sweaty.
That.
I'm so nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Because it's just like.
My first phone, not smartphone, my first phone was an iPhone 5. And I was a freshman in high school. So hold on. That may have been first. That may have been high school then. I had an iPod Touch in middle school. Never mind. I'm remembering it wrong. iPad Air was high school.
Ha, who's the boomer now?
Oh, man.
Jeez.
But the running theme I was getting at was that devices that don't have displays, their batteries last a long time. And AirTags is going to be like intentionally designed to have an incredibly long battery life. Because, I mean, like the Magic Mouse... It's pretty basic, you know, you just have your click and you have the laser that tracks how you move it around. And that can last like 6 weeks. And with the Apple TV remote, that's thing super thin. And all there is buttons and a trackpad and a microphone. AirTags won't have a microphone or a trackpad. They will. I'm guessing AirTags. What's amazing is we know they exist and we have no idea what they look like. And I'm kind of excited to see them. But they'll probably have one button for like on off pairing or whatever, kind of like AirPods cases, they'll have a charge port or they'll charge wirelessly and a speaker. For occasional use, if you lose something, you can ping it and it will make a noise. So that's pretty much it. Inside, it will be like Bluetooth, battery, ultra-wideband chip. That's pretty much all there will be inside them. So even if they give it an Apple Watch-sized battery, I'm guessing it could easily last like a month or more.
So you guys aren't thinking long enough. A Tile will last a whole year. 1 year replaceable battery. And I realize it's a button battery, so, you know, take that as you will.
But I really in hope order AirTags to compete, don't have that.
Me too. I hate button batteries. But in order to compete, Apple needs to hit at least 3 months, bare minimum 3 months, if not a year or longer. Because here's how you use a Tile tracker. You stick it on your keys, and you forget about it. If you have to remember to charge your Tile tracker every month or every 2 months or even every 3 months...
Or change it out.
What's the point of having it? Like, it's going to be... You're going to be thinking about the tracker more than you're actually using it to find whatever you lost. And I don't lose things in the first place, so hashtag essentialism.
Oh, it's easy when we're quarantined.
Exactly. So, I never left my house anyway, so
this is perfect. Over the past, since we last recorded, I turned on my iPhone XS, and that's been off since I've had...
You have a XS?
What? XS? I thought you sold it.
No, I did
Your
not
iPhone
sell it,
XS.
No.
Yeah.
I still have the
So you have two XS. iPhones?
I technically have three.
That's not with a 5S.
We'll get that in a second.
Okay.
My gosh.
We'll get that in a second. So I turned on the XS, and it's been off since October or September, whenever I got the 11 Pro. And when I turned it off, it was at 100%. When I checked it, when I first turned it on, it was at like... 87% battery.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
So just, I tell you because, granted, the battery is very, very big in comparison to the AirTags, but...
And the phone's not doing anything.
And it's not doing anything, but I don't think the AirTags do anything. It's
still
just
doing. Even when you have an iPhone totally shut down, it's still keeping time with the clock. It's still managing thermals on a, you know, daily basis or whatever. It's
so,
still on.
But it's very passive in the background type of thing.
Definitely.
And I think AirTags is going to do the same thing where I think it's going to... I agree with you, Nick. I think it's going to last a really, really, really long time because, granted, like I said, the battery on the iPhone, it's way more bigger than what the... More bigger. It's way bigger than... I English good. So it's... gooder.
It's more
the battery's bigger. It's more goodest than anything else. Yeah, but the same thought process though is that no screen, like what Drew was saying. So there's no screen, therefore depletion of the battery. I don't really see it happening. It's just something that's going to happen slowly over time. And just because I brought it up, I just want to address the iPhone thing really quickly. I plan on selling it. I want to sell it. I felt I needed a secondary iPhone on standby for filming, kind of like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
It felt like it was something I needed. Don't think I need it as much because I have every intention of keeping the iPhone 11 Pro forever. I love that. This is my favorite phone, period. So
that's saying a lot.
I want to keep that. And because of that, I want to get rid of the XS for sure. My wife has no interest in it because she likes her XR. And if she's going to upgrade, she wants something newer. I understand. So she doesn't want it. So it's not high priority for me to sell it, but I do want to sell it. And then the other phone I have is a 5S. That's just because – but okay. Drew made a video earlier this week or last week at the time of this being released.
Probably
about
a couple.
About upgrading iPhones and how the overall subject was peaked. Have they peaked? And I was that person before I started taking this into more of a line of work type of mentality where I had the 3G and I held on to that until the 4 because back then contracts every 2 years. So I went from 3G to 4. And I went from 4, and I held on to that sucker till 5S. I was trying to run the 4 into the ground because that was my favorite phone the design, the whole thing, you know, the cliche of how it was the greatest phone. I love that phone, and I didn't want to get rid of it. And then
Steve Jobs' image.
I guess. Well, I remember seeing iPhone 4. I was in Japan at that time when they announced it, and I was just like, it was very literally breathtaking. I was like, I am an Apple sheep before that word was actually a thing. So I got the iPhone 4, and I was trying to hold on to it, but the battery was just dying more and more over time. iOS 7 didn't help it. It actually like almost bricked my phone. So then I went to iPhone 5S. And I was going to hold on to 5S until probably 2 years ago before one software sold me, and it was Apple Pay. And I never wanted to get rid of the small form factor, and I believed in DSLRs as my primary camera, not an iPhone. So I was fine with the 5S, but I really, really wanted Apple Pay more than anything. And then when I got Apple Watch and this whole thing started coming out, I was on I am on iOS 8.1 or 8.2 for 5S, and it was like, okay, so my and I got the Series 0. I was like, okay, cool. This was going to be my setup, but then I want to get a big screen with a small display for the watch. That's a good contrast. And so then I started that's when I slowly went into annual, yearly like upgrades with no intention. I was not in love with the 6 series at all. I was going to go from 5S to SE in my head. I knew that I want the SE because I love the form factor. Then I get Apple Pay, and I would have held on to the SE to this very moment. And now that we know a new 2020 SE is coming out, my first thing is, how cheap is the 5 form factor SE now on eBay or something? I would buy it and very have it now. Because it's my favorite. That's my favorite phone of design. So now I hold on to the 5S strictly because it's 8.2. So
that is true. That is true. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you Brandon. Sad that they are ditching the 5.8 inch display this year?
No, that thing's 5.8 inches.
Nick, Randy, I know you I'm like sorry, the big phone,
your
but
small
Randy's always
hands.
Been.
My big hands require larger phones.
We all know
Randy's
Nick
little mini
needs
hands.
The
yes, you can.
Nick would use like an 8-inch iPhone if it was.
I
a
would
thing.
Totally do.
But
that.
I'm come curious because Randy has always been in favor of the 5.8 inch and the smaller footprints. So are and I know you care about the camera. So I'm guessing you're not going with the 5.4 inch 12, or would you? I don't know.
It's one of those things where I would have to wait and see when they announce it. We talked about it. I'm sure we, if not on the podcast, we definitely have talked about it off the show that I got the 11 Pro 1 strictly because of the color. Like, done. You sit on your screen, it's like, oh, there's Randy's phone. Yeah. So no regrets on getting this phone. Love it. And it is smaller than the iPhone 11, but I did intend on getting iPhone 11 more so because I liked it, the 10R, but I always wanted to go smaller, smaller. And iPhone 11 Pro is the smallest that I can get with the best camera, so I do care about the camera in that sense. I don't – there's a conflict that's happening with me. I want iPhones to replace – I want iPhones to replace – like DSLRs. And I know that's not going to happen for a very, very, very long time, if ever, because DSLRs are still being like Canon, Nikon, Sony. They're still innovating. It's not that they're not. So I don't believe that's ever going to happen unless Apple gets into the full-fledged camera game, maybe. But I'm in love with the idea of iPhones replacing dedicated cameras. I just know that's not practical in the next couple of years minimum. So, with that being said, in the practical use, form factor over camera for me does matter, but I do take a lot of video in today's world where I dismiss my dedicated cameras, my DSLRs for this. I mean, this is only possible because I'm using an iPhone. And so that's the conflict. Camera over form is it depends on what the innovation looks like with software and some hardware as well, but what they're able to bring to the camera kind of dictates it. I don't care that much if we can get 100 zoom. I don't care about that. That's silly to me.
You know? The biggest difference is like I have a pretty good idea on how the lineup's going to be. I'm guessing, obviously, because the analysts we're listening to are usually pretty reliable when it comes to how things are going to go. But my guess is the 6.1-inch Pro, that'll be the smallest size now you can get if you want the Pro, is going to have the same triple camera system, probably improved ultrawide, improved regular, improved telephoto, and it will also get LiDAR, which is not going to be just for IKEA AR demos. It will also be for, I'm guessing, video bokeh and improved portrait mode photography. And if you go with the 5.4-inch regular 12, the non-Pro, it's only going to have two cameras, ultrawide and regular. And there won't be a telephoto and there won't be LiDAR. So don't expect any kind of video bokeh or portrait mode improvements. It will likely be that for the regular 12. Ugh. It will be very close to the camera setup of the iPhone 11.
Yeah, that It'll breaks my heart. That
yeah.
breaks so my you heart. You would go with the larger camera. The larger footprint and the larger display.
If what you're saying is true with all the features right yeah. there, I almost feel like a sense of obligation of loving video so much.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like I'm going through a breakup. It would break my heart.
You'll still get an OLED display. So you're not,
I don't
you're
care.
Not going to LCD. You don't
I don't care. If you can give me all that on the small screen possible, I we've all talked about, but I know you've made videos about it. There is an audience which I do fall in. Give me the smallest footprint just because compatibility or compact ability.
A lot of people will buy the new SE because of that, I think.
I agree. And there's something sexy about having a very clean. You don't need the bells and whistles all the time. A clean phone overall.
Yes, I do.
Well, that's on you. But Mr. Randy's tiny little hands, as he was saying. Sometimes you just, like, a real essentialist, Nick, would take the one camera lens that it comes with and
that's
then
a minimalist.
Work with it.
I am an essentialist. It's essential that I have two iPhones
it
with
It is not essential.
Cameras.
That is essential. A want. It's, there's nothing essential about it. That is a want. Anyway, so if we're getting the squared designed again, where it can stand, like you could sit on the table and it stands up type of a thing, and you get
Maybe
everything
the,
that...
The camera bump will be so big, though, that it can't stand up straight because the weight is off balance.
Oh, that'd be sad, too. Just for aesthetic reasons, it would be sad. But if we get the 4.5 form factor of it being boxy, and I want to have the smaller one. Like, I'm in love with the smaller form factor. Practical use, I would probably get the one with the better camera. And that
so you're
going
to be really
heart.
Sad when you go to the Apple store and you compare the two. You're like, here's the 5.4-inch, here's the Pro. And you're just like, no.
I'll stick with the iPhone 11 Pro.
You'll just live with the Pro. No, I'm guessing my prediction is LiDAR is going to have some type of huge feature advantage. It's not going to be just the AR stuff. Like, they don't want the iPad, obviously, to have video and photo exclusives over the iPhone, so that's why they didn't introduce it with the Pro. But once LiDAR, which we know is coming to at least the Pro iPhones, my guess is they're going to have some. Because if you saw how well LiDAR masks out stuff in those demos,
that was
I
crazy.
Showcased, it has such a great way of mapping a room, and that partnered with the A14 chip, I could already see, maybe third parties could get ahead of this with the iPad before Apple does, but I could see the LiDAR chip being really, a camera being really, really good at making a video look like a portrait mode shot in real time and just, you know, getting even closer to phones replacing DSLRs. Not completely, obviously, but really, really close.
Yeah. Right now,
if
I don't
you
have a DSLR.
If you could book a video, then yeah. Everybody would probably get
the
on board.
The bokeh video,
that.
Though, it has to look good. So I was being a photographer, I was outside with this coronavirus in my front yard, and we have these beautiful trees that are all bloomed out, and they're
dogwoods
or something. Ugh. I know, I went outside, and it felt weird. But
I thought you looked a little more tan.
Goes outside for 6 seconds, burns skin.
Now I just look like eggshell.
I get a sunburn while I'm sitting inside on a cloudy day. That's how bad it is. anyway, I was outside taking pictures of these beautiful blossoms. Actually, if you check out my Twitter account, at NakanSweeney, plug, 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 you'll see the pictures. And I realized that I still like natural bokeh. I threw it onto the 2X telephoto, and I framed it so that I got a good amount of depth of field between the foreground and, you know, the background trees. No matter what I did with the portrait mode setting, I played around with it for a good like 20 minutes that morning, and I could not get the video, the portrait mode to look anywhere near as good as just a standard physical bokeh. And it's going to get there at some point. We're going to get to the point where we have good, you know, video.
The differences will be smaller and smaller, but you can't beat the real thing, because the iPhone's just simulating it. You know, like the cameras and the lenses are physically, you know, capturing light in a way that it looks like that, whereas the iPhone has to pretend it's a camera.
It's artificial. So,
yeah, that's why it will always be not as good, but it will get closer and closer. I don't know if it'll ever beat it, because you can't beat physics.
I don't think it will. I don't think it can. The same way, I remember I told Nick this story recently. Back at the early stages. Back when this podcast started, before I was here, you guys had talked about...
Wow, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, but Nick brought up something very interesting that it's kind of stuck with me, because I can never articulate it into words until Nick said it, but you can't... Like, the hardware that you get on, like, telephoto, for example, because you guys were talking about telephoto lens, the hardware that comes with the telephoto, context was you guys were talking about the pixel and why... Two lens matters over the hardware you get with the telephoto lens and the true actual even without the portrait mode thing, what's happening in the background that makes it actually more visually appealing to where even Nick was saying something along the lines that our eyes actually view it the same way at 2X is very comparable to how we actually look at things in 2X zoom. All that to say that hardware is hardware, and you can always improve on it, but the baseline is the hardware, to where software with the pixel, that's, you can't get any better off of the hardware, because the hardware is your foundation. You can only try to improve there, but everything else will always be artificial. Same context here. The hardware has to be there the same way for video as what you use for your Blackmagic cameras, for example, and everything that comes with it. The hardware is the hardware, and that will always, in a camera sense, will always trump any software enhancements that you can get to anything. It will never replace it. The software that comes with it, it can give you cool effects. It can do all these other things. Even in editing mode, you can do all these things. But it's never going to surpass it, because the hardware is the hardware, and there's dedicated hardware in the DSLRs, your Blackmagic, the Canons, the Nikons. There are dedicated sensors that do all these things for a very specific purpose. And then if there was to be software added to it, which in this sense it'd be like Final Cut or your editor of choice, then you just improve upon that foundation the same way telephoto is the foundation, and then you would have improved on there. I don't think it will ever surpass a dedicated camera, unless
how could you
Apple got into that game.
How do you get make something better than reality? That's just how the light is hitting the camera. Like, you can't match it.
You can use Apple, a Lytro camera, and capture the entire light field. And
is this like Pixar and
the one
Pixar in Toy Story 4 making things look even more realistic than
real? I don't know how they did it. I watched Pixar Story 4 like the other day. And,
that cat looks more like a cat than an actual cat.
I know. How did they do that? It looks so good.
That's uncomfortable.
And it was all on an iMac Pro, which just makes me even more happy.
So I think we'll be able to assess... Or let me say like this. I think Apple will be able to get into the camera game as a smooth transition than anything else, because of the fact that they've been working on these sensors for so long that it's a matter of, for me, I believe it's a matter of time that I think they'll eventually branch off and, hey, we made an actual camera. And will it cannibalize the iPhone a little bit? Maybe, sure. But then maybe not. Maybe it's more modular. So, I don't know.
I would love it if they made their own camera, but I don't think they ever will, because I think they see that as just anything the iPhone can't do, then that's just room for improvement for the next iPhone. I don't think they'll ever just detach that into its own thing. I personally think they'll always make sure the iPhone has best camera technology possible, and if we can't fit it into the iPhone, then we're just going to have to think of something else. That's my guess, but I agree with you. It would be nice if they did. I really wish
it'd
they
be
would
cool.
get into be all over that. Game. I'm looking at cameras now because, you know, we're doing video podcast stuff now, and I'm like, okay, I need to up my game somehow. And oh my goodness, good cameras are expensive. Like, oh my gosh. Like, okay, yeah, I want like a 4K at 60 camera. Okay, well, that'll be minimum of $1,200. Like, oh, okay, well.
They've gotten a lot better.
Standard photography.
I will mention, they have gotten a whole lot better over the years. Like, what was available when I was just starting out YouTube versus what's available now. It's like, wait, you can get that on a $1,200 camera? Oh my god. It used to be like a $6,000 camera feature.
Generally how technology works, but
yeah.
It's like, still, I was on a blog. They said the 10 best 4K at 60 cinema cameras, and number three on the list was an iPhone 11 Pro. And I was just like, aww.
Probably one of the cheapest.
I know, it was. That was what the person said. It's like, if you
iPhone
want 4K
8
at 60.
Is the cheapest. Yeah, 4K at 60. Which is, I
want a full-size sensor that'll catch more light. That's what I'm looking for.
4K at 60 on a phone is not the same as 4K at 60 on a dedicated. They look very, very different. But
all this artifact.
Yeah, I will definitely get the biggest phone possible. That hasn't changed, so I'm glad they're making them bigger. I just hope they don't change the aspect ratio. My God, I already think the iPhone 11s and 11 Pros are already a little tall. Like, I'm comfortable with it because the footprint is about the same as the 8 Plus, so I can make it work. But it's pushing it. I'm getting there. When I used the S20, I was like, nah, this is too tall, too awkward. It's just so tricky to reach up that high. So if they do 6.7, I hope it's just bezel slimming and a little bit different form factor, but I don't need it to be a taller screen.
Yeah,
they need to make sure that their cases don't work between phones. They've had too many years now where you can get an iPhone 10, an iPhone 10s, an iPhone 11 Pro that are all the exact same case. They're trying to stop that.
Well, they make the cameras bigger, so.
Cool. I meant going backwards. You can get an 11 Pro case and stick a 10s into it.
Sorry. We got to fix that.
they can't have them third party people selling cases like
so that. A random Randy rant RRR.
Ooh, I love random Randy rants.
That's a great name. You should do that on your channel.
That's as good as the Maca.
I used to have a Randy rant segment years
Randy,
years ago.
Randy,
like,
random Randy rant.
Randy rant. Random Randy rant.
Oh, the random part. I just added. But now, welcome to the random Randy rant. And because it's random, because I'm going to derail. The Reckless Randy... Wait, Reckless is W,
the Reckless Random Randy Rants.
The Reckless Random Randy Rants. Really Random Randy Rants. Welcome back to another Really Random Randy Rants.
Perfect. What is it?
Okay. Time lapse. Ooh. You want to know what grinds my gears?
Time lapse is broken.
Let me tell you something.
Severely.
Back when I took my trip to New York... I paid a lot of money to get to the top of the Empire State Building, set my phone on a tripod, and record a beautiful sunset with a lot of like dynamic things happening in the background with the clouds and everything.
Uh-huh.
I recorded the whole thing for an hour and like 15 minutes or so, about the length of a typical podcast here. Mm-hmm. And when I finished it and I hit end, it just loaded. And now, that was back in January. 3 months later, it's still loading.
I hate to say it, but I had the same issue. I had the same problem.
That's the most expensive time lapse I've ever spent. I've ever paid for. I am so mad.
iOS 13 is so buggy. Like, I mean, for day-to-day stuff.
Don't you dare blame this on iOS 13, Drew. My gosh.
You're right. It started since iOS 11. I was reading the forums.
Time lapses have been like super unreliable. We did a bunch for the latest Talosov show episode, and I tried to get the same
totally
angle.
Talosov, Search Thank YouTube you, for Talosith.
Plug, plug, plug. And you can. I tried the same angle three times, and still, every single time, it either wouldn't work or it time lapsed from like a cropped in like 50% zoom. Maybe it was from the telephoto, but when I was doing the time lapse itself, it was not the telephoto. It was the wide angle. And I tried restarting the phone. I tried closing the app. I tried everything I could. I should mention my phone's on the public beta, so that could be part of the issue, but I know Randy's
Well, that's
isn't.
The problem, having, Drew. Yeah, yeah, stop blaming iOS 13 for it. My gosh, iOS 13 is perfect because Apple made it.
I'm not on it. I'm not, on, not it. On it.
And I believe it. I believe it because I've seen so many people have the same issue, and I'm just like, I think we're due for an iOS 12 style update. You know, I don't. There's not really much. There's very little things that, you know, in the old days when we would use our phones, or when we used iOS 10 or 9 or something, there'd be this big list of things when using iOS. I'd be like, oh, they should change that. Oh yeah, this is kind of annoying. I wish they would change that. And now I find myself not saying that very often. I will still just admire the volume indicator when changing volume. I'm just like, wow. Look at how smooth that is. That's so nice. This is so fresh. There's very, very little things now that I'm just like, they should add this or they should change this. Other than just software glitches. Like, I'm excited for an iOS 14 launch, which is all just about bug squashing and optimization and stability. Like, that's what it's rumored to be, and I'm happy with that because I don't need a big design overhaul. I don't need a big graphics overhaul. I just want a whole year dedicated to make everything smooth and stable. That's all I want.
Yep. I second that. Right there. Right there, buddy. You got it.
And so, for iPadOS, all they really should do is work on pro apps. I don't really think there's much they need to do with the software itself.
Oh, my God. You're singing my song, Drew. Yes.
They've got almost like Apple should listen to this show and put it in their advertising for the iPhone 11.
That would be smart. I would freak out if they did that. If they're listening, I hope they're prioritizing those things because that's what's important to me. All I need change-wise is redesign pop-ups as notifications. If I get 10% battery left, let it just drop down. Randy is so into this. Phone calls can be a drop-down thing. Siri should be a drop-down thing. It should not cover the whole
display. No, phone calls should always take up the whole screen.
I'm so attracted to you right now, Drew.
Are you being sarcastic? I can't tell.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. So a phone call is the most invasive. Well, you're wrong. The phone call is the most invasive.
I haven't
form
done it
of-
yet. Rag. Excuse me. I thought I was gonna go an episode without bringing out Trump. Okay, but quite frankly, you're fake news. You're wrong, Nick. Excuse me. You're wrong.
Okay, Mr. President. The phone call is the most invasive form of communication. When you call someone, you want to get their attention. Yeah. Texting people, you know, it's a lot less formal. DMing, even less. Tagging people on Instagram, even less, you know. But phone calls is the most invasive form of communication. When I make a phone call, I want to know that the person on the other end knows that I at least tried to contact them. And if it's just a little notification badge, I feel like, you know, if their phone is on the other room or whatever, or on the desk and they're not really looking at it, they might not notice just the little, you know, thing come down.
That's why
the little
it rings.
Phone call.
Where we have watches.
Oh, would it ring?
We're not changing the ringing. We're just saying it shouldn't take over the entire display.
I thought you said change it for the notification.
I'm saying it should not be
the visual
pop-up.
Component.
The visual component. Is what we're talking about. Yeah. Like when you get 20% battery or the settings once you enter the password in the email.
Corona! He's got the Rona. You saw it. Yeah. All right, look at him. He's dying. Pasty looking. He looks like death.
It really sucks that coronavirus is happening during like spring allergy season.
We can't
but
say
good
it right on
YouTube
now.
Oh, that's right.
I will go back to censor all of those.
No, it's good, Drew. It's fine because they'll just put a Wikipedia link below the YouTube channel now.
That's true.
We're good.
We're not monetized yet anyway, so go ahead.
And we're not. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So this whole video thing is just for you guys.
I don't
think we're not making money off of it. See, we're not.
Yeah, this is fanfare. This is fanfare doing all of this. This is mm-hmm. not for us. This is for
so
you.
So you
guys.
Should, if you're an audio listener, go watch it on video because we worked so hard for this.
Or just leave it, let it play and don't listen to it. Just mute it. Just
true.
Let
it
do its thing. For you video listeners.
But no, seriously, like, phone call, I don't want just answer this or not answer it. I want to be like, if I'm in the middle of something and I get a call, let it like let it ring out if it wants to, or swipe it away
swipe
and let
up.
It just
yeah
be done with it instead of covering up the whole display, especially with the iPad. I mean, that's not how it works on the Mac. Imagine if when you were using your MacBook or your iMac, when you got a phone call, just all the screen gets consumed and there's just a giant button that says answer.
It also kind of still sucks to get in a FaceTime call in an Apple ecosystem because my iPad goes off, my phone goes off, my Mac goes off, and
I turned all that off.
About the Google is it Duo feature where like if you call someone, they can see you before you pick up.
Ew! No, I'm still putting my pants on before that.
They're not seeing you before you pick up. They see you if you initiated the call. So you're calling someone.
No.
I thought it was
I'm still putting my face together and my getting
when
my
you're
shirt
calling
on
me?
And pants.
When
yes!
you're calling me, you're still so why are you starting a FaceTime call?
When I click start FaceTime call, it starts ringing and it says calling or whatever in the upper corner.
They can pick up at any time.
A selfie of my face, and that's like okay, get my hair right, make sure I don't
that's
have anything
not changing.
In my teeth.
I'm just saying, should they be able to see that before they pick
no!
up?
No, gosh, no. Yes, as soon should. As I see the connecting, as soon as it says connecting, I know I have like 1 second to like. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you need the 1 second.
And you know what's funny? Nick is telling the truth. I know he's done this when I FaceTime him. I know, or this is what I see when I FaceTime him. Hey, what's up? Yeah, I put the it was away, but
I mean, like, if you're initiating the call, though, you are saying I am willing for someone to see me now.
Most
That's
of the time, when I initiate a call, I am asking Siri to initiate that FaceTime call. And I shall not say the magic words, but most of the time I'll be like,
but you're saying
FaceTime
anyone
Scott
can look
Stowell
at me
and,
now at any
and it'll
moment.
Start.
That's what you're saying.
If I may, what Drew is saying is what you do on macOS, you open up FaceTime, you can see yourself before you hit the call.
I never use the FaceTime app, though. I never use the FaceTime app on the iPad or the
iPhone. It is still a thing. You could still see yourself
I'm not
and do this
do
whole
that.
Thing.
Let me.
We gotta train.
No, you're
new
not
habits.
Ragged. You're not ragged.
He can be trained. So, you just take that time before you even send the first call, like us doing this. You can see yourself, do whatever you just did, that whole little thing, and then call. And as it's doing a thing, you could just, you're on standby. And now it can be, am I being spam? Is it spam? Oh no, it's Nick. Cool. What's up, man?
Still says Nick.
If something else was there, like if someone was like important and screaming into the camera, like pick up, press the button, you know, they could see that before you answer the call.
I don't like that at all. I would actually switch
2319!
To
2319. I thought it was
isn't
a
that,
nifty
isn't that
feature.
From Monsters Inc? Is that what you guys are
yes.
referencing?
The sock.
Okay, the sock.
The sock. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just gets dogpiled on and the whole thing.
I think if you're willing to let other people see you, then it's not really that big a difference. You're not getting people, like, if you don't want people to see you, then why are you making the call in the first place, is my point.
But it's that, saying. It's, okay, so if you think of, like, any major film or TV studio where, like, they're live, like, news broadcasters or whatever, you have, like, the time when they're on commercial breaks and the anchors are sitting there, you know, drinking their water, reading their script.
But they
and
have
then you
a
got
timer.
They got a whole lady. That's her whole job. This lady's whole entire career is to go live in 5, 4...
And when they screw
yeah, they
it
have
up,
a countdown is my point.
And then that's what that little connecting thing is. As soon as
that's
it switches from calling
you're
to connecting,
answer at any moment. That's what that
no,
says. It's like
that's
pending.
Not what it's saying. That's
it's
saying,
not giving
I want,
you a 10, 9,
I
8.
I want that 1 second connecting thing to be able to say, okay, he's already accepted. It's connecting. I need to go from making sure my hair looks nice to, hey, how are you guys? So nice to see you.
And then as the studio thing that he's saying, what happens when you don't do that, you get like what happened with Trump going, okay, just freaking out. <It's>,
okay. Well, there's not much else we can do with iOS 14.
No, I mean, but we can still complain about the two things. No, a little
bit longer. What you brought up, Drew, is exactly and nothing more. That's all I want addressed, and everything else can be just under the hood, fixed time lapse or something. But don't hijack my whole screen when I'm getting an inbound call of any capacity. FaceTime audio, FaceTime video, phone call. Give me the same way I get text messages and let me have the choice, which I hear they're addressing that. So I'm sure that I would fix that and fix the... I mean, you already listed it.
Did you hear about them buying Dark Sky?
Yes. I was so excited when they bought it. I got a notification and everything. I was like, oh, it's going to start raining. Oh, no. Apple bought Dark Sky! I love Dark Sky. Dark Sky is my favorite weather app.
Oh, you own it?
I didn't even know about it.
Oh, I own it. Yeah, totally. I love Dark Sky.
Never heard of that.
Oh, my gosh.
He owns it.
I love it. Okay.
Is there a subscription option?
There is. I think it's like $10 a month. I don't pay for that. It's,
whoa.
I did the $3.99 one-time purchase.
That's going to be an Apple
Apple Weather Plus.
Apple Weather is going to be a thing now.
What I love about Dark Sky is like, even though I'm not outside and I barely even look out the window because I'm working so much, but I still get notifications of when it's going to rain, when it stops raining, and it feels like I'm more in tune with the outdoors, which is kind of nice because I'm not outdoors much anymore. And it's...
you never
I'm
were.
In, I'm never in was. Tune That's with true. The outdoors that I'm not a part of.
But it's kind of scary how accurate it is. It'll give me a notification and like it'll say, rain starting in your location. And I'll be like, okay, cool. And then I... turning my head to look out the window, and like I see the first little spits of water on the window. I'm like... It's or like, when it says rain is stopping in your location, I'm like,
you will
oh,
now
wow.
notice yourself blinking. You will have to go to the bathroom in 5 minutes.
It that is, knows. If they could do that, those bathroom break notifications would be really helpful. You will have to go to the bathroom in 5 minutes.
Suddenly, your tongue is not comfortable in your mouth, and you don't know how to position it.
How does it know? How does it know?
Did you see those like Apple Weather concept mock-ups people yes! had, like, oh incorporating gosh, Dark Sky?
Yes!
I still think it's mean what they did to Android, though.
Yeah, it is mean, but people on Android should just get an iPhone, so... You
but
know,
they bought Shazam, and they didn't cancel the
All's
Shazam
fair
app.
In love and war, Drew.
Yeah,
but well, why have Apple Music on Android and the Shazam app, which they also own? Why did they decide
Dark Weather is so...
Because something happened behind closed doors, and the execs got into a fight, and they Steve Jobs Adobe Flashed them. That's what happened.
No.
I think it's because there must be a subscription. If they were just going to incorporate it into the Weather app by default, then they would have kept it, because like Shazam... they bought that, and they don't care that there's an Android version. And they also still have Apple Music for Android. Mm-hmm. So if they're willing to take it off, it's probably because they want some type of complete control
I didn't
over
know
the
people
data.
Cared about this. Why would you pay for it? I didn't know that was a
okay.
thing.
I didn't either. So I heard about it, and then
it
I
also
discovered
has really
all these
good,
people.
Where I like live, Nick. We have a lot of crazy weather, and sometimes it kind of comes up out of nowhere. And, you know, it's nice.
My cousin
nice.
Bought it.
It's nice to know. Ooh, well, sucks to be your cousin.
Yeah.
But I'm an apple sheep, so I'm covered for a while. It's nice to... They have this really cool radar map, and so it's, like, hyper-accurate and hyper-smooth. Like, when you watch TV weather, whatever, the weatherman will be like, and here's how the clouds are moving. And you see, like, these red and green, you know, splotches move across the map, right. But they're very, like... time-lapsey, like, one-hour, like, time-lapses.
Right.
But dark Sky, it's so
time
smooth.
Time-lapses, huh?
Like, it's
must
almost...
be nice.
Yeah. It must be nice. Anyway, you guys have to use it to try it. It's beautiful.
I will use it when they incorporate it into iOS by default somehow.
For $10 a month. I will be signing up for that one. I love
I'll do the
dark
free
Sky
trial.
So much.
I won't pay for it. That's just... If they do a subscription, I'm guessing it'll be like $5.
You guys both live in California. You don't know what weather is.
I live in sunny San Diego.
You guys
I have fine. No
interest. The problem is I have a window, and I can just look outside and be like, oh.
But it's so cool when my watch tells me what's going on outside before I notice what's going on outside. That is cool technology.
You can spend $10 a month, or you can look out the window. It's amazing.
It takes 3 seconds to go like this. One, two, three. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Anyway.
Yep, it's still sunny San Diego. Yep.
Let's wrap up.
They have a cool watch complication. How about that?
Any closing thoughts?
Pixel Air sucks. AirPower's dead. And Donald Trump, please come on our show.
Okay. Bye, guys. We'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
Bye. Mm-hmm.